So I have a question for you to get started off with. Think back to when you were a child. I give some of you a little bit longer than others. Everybody there? Were you a sharer or a taker? Think about that real quick. Were you the kid at the daycare that bit everybody because you didn't want them to take your toy? Or were you the kid that said, yeah, you can come over and play with me? Which one were you? You were what? A biter? All right, there we go. At least we've got one honest person tonight. But how many of you evolved from that as you've gotten older? You still bite people? Not usually. But we evolve a little bit, right? We have different attitudes. We see things just a little bit different than what we have in the past. And we kind of want to teach people to do the same thing, right? I'm sure I bit some people when I was a kid. I don't remember. But I don't want to teach my kids to bite. I don't want to teach my kids to do some of the things that I did. I'd like to share with them things that would benefit them later on in life, right? Raise your hand if you'd like to share stuff that would benefit people later on in life. Yeah? Keep them up. I want to see them. All right? Now, I want you to look around the room with everybody's hands up. How many people in here are sharers? All of you are right now, right? You're all sharers. You're all, if you are saved and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what your job is? To share. To tell people about Christ. And to go from that point on and continue that. Not to hold stuff back for yourselves. And so tonight we're going to look in Philippians chapter 1. And if you find Philippians chapter 1, I'll give you just a second. There are two letters that were left out of the bulletin for the title. So if you're come here tonight and you want to hear about a selfish heart, you're going to hear about an unselfish heart. Okay? Those are the two that were left out, that U and the N. Once you find Philippians chapter 1, would you please stand? We're going to start in verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Brother John Henry, would you lead us as we pray? So selfishness always breeds unhappiness. Whether it's to the person you're selfish to or to you, selfishness breeds unhappiness. And I don't want any unhappy people here tonight. All right? I want you all to be happy. And so I don't want anybody to be selfish. And if we look at Paul's life, Paul was selfish in a way. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But Paul had a love for others. I mean, who else would take on the things that he did? Get ran out of towns that he got ran out of. All the things that he went through. And it says in verse 12, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He called them his circumstances. Paul prayed for others. Paul encouraged others. Paul sought to bring joy to others. And I forget that some days. How about you? To bring joy to others. Some days I barely have enough joy to get to myself. And I forget to give other people joy and lead them to that place. And all the things that Paul went through, that encouragement that he wanted to give, he wanted to bring as much joy to others as Christ brought to him. Paul's heart was ministering to others. But there was a problem. He longed to be with Christ. He longed to be in heaven. And he said that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But he also knew that he wanted to remain where he was and help believers grow in Christ. I had a great example of that in my life. Great example. My father. He wanted to be with Christ so bad. He quit pastoring full time, but he never stopped. He never stopped. Brother Doug talked about that this morning. And just because we get to an age or we get to a spot in our life, we shouldn't stop. Paul had every right and every notion of human ability. I've been through too much for this. I need to stop. But that's not what his heart was. That's not what he was wanting to do. He eagerly wanted to remain and help the believers grow in Christ. Paul knew that his body was not his own. His future was not his own. Y'all ever think about your future? And think about the things that you're going to do? Yeah, we all do. Every one of us. But it's not ours to think about. It's to follow God and what He has for us. You see, Paul knew that his reputation wasn't his own. He wasn't saying these things to build himself up, but to bring honor and glory to Christ. And when we put ourselves first, it brings misery. It brings unhappiness. In verses 1 through 11, Paul talked about, verses 1 through 11. Let me read a little bit to you. In verse 3 it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all in joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's all he was thinking about. It was from their fellowship from the first day we met until now to what was going on. And Paul had every right to think of how his past, his present, and his future situation affected him. And most of us would expect everyone to understand if we thought about ourselves over others at times. But Paul was not thinking about himself. He was in chains. He was in bonds. And Paul was thinking of those that he had a connection, had a Jesus connection with. Not just a connection, not somebody that he ran into on the street, but somebody that knew the same Savior that he knew. Through all of Paul's trials, he had the simple thought, their memory, those people he had a connection with, blessed his life. Can you think of people that have blessed your life? Yes, we all can. We can think of that. And Paul rejoiced over their salvation and their growth. Paul said in verse 7, "It is only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart." Because I have you here. I think about you. I have a love for you. John 13:35, By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I'm going to ask you to look across this room. Do you have love for one another? It's a simple question. We all have different thoughts and we all have different attitudes. And some days you probably love me less than you do other days. But by this, that love, what we carry in our heart, how we treat each other, it says they will know who you are if you have love for one another. Paul prayed that they may be full of love and discernment. That's what he said in verse 9. "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul prayed that they would be fruitful in their daily walk. Do y'all pray for each other that you would be fruitful, that other people here would be fruitful in their daily walk? Paul prayed that they would be fruitful in their Christian service. Is that something that's on your heart for the members of this church, to pray that your brothers and sisters would be fruitful in Christian service? Verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." The things that happened to me, how does he describe those? He doesn't bring them up again. He details them in another letter, but he describes them as his circumstance, the trying events that happened to him. What a description of life. Think about what has happened in your life, what you've been through, the trials that you've had. Some of them were easier than others, correct? Y'all know I was raised as a preacher's kid, and I've seen a whole lot of trials. It didn't affect me like they affected my father. I'm usually the one who got the whipping out of it. But trials will affect us, and they would change our mindsets. He had chains on his wrist. People thought his enemies were causing trouble because of their selfish preaching. We read about those a while ago. His friends were worried about him and they were praying for him. And there was a possibility that Paul would die for the things that he was enduring and encountering. But none of that mattered. He was rejoicing in his relationship with Christ and the relationship of other Christians. Verse 20, let's look at this. Verse 19, we'll start there. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, I will not be put to shame in anything." I will not be put to shame in anything. Paul had a desire to honor Christ. He had a desire to honor Christ. He had a desire to promote the gospel. And Paul turned his circumstances into opportunities to magnify Christ and win souls. Paul went through so much stuff. But the one thing that I want y'all to see what Paul did was he put Christ first. He put Christ first in everything in his life. Every one of us has selfish tendencies. We're selfish about certain things. The fact is that we want life to go the way we want it to go. All the time. That's the way I am. Just to be honest with you, I want my life to be easy. I want it to go exactly, I want things to happen step by step, just exactly like I want it. And here's the deal about sometimes when my thought process goes that way. We want to have hold of the plow but never put our hand to work. We want to be able to direct everything that goes, but we don't want to work. We don't want to do the things that we should. And even some of us want to sit back and admire what previous work has been done. My dad always talked about him plowing and looking back, and he never could get that bobble out of his row. I'm sure y'all have heard that before. Never could get that bobble out of his row. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, Jesus said, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So what does all this mean? What was Paul selfish about? In verse 21 it says, "For me to live, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." All of us in here are ready to go to heaven, right? If you're not ready to go to heaven because you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of this mess that we're in because I know what awaits me is so much better. But he said, "I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Paul didn't say that it was necessary for me to stay here. He said it was necessary for others if I stay here. What Paul said was, God's not finished with me yet. He said, "I am here because God still wants me here, and I still need to minister." He said, "I am convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." See, Paul had a desire to depart and be with Christ, but he also had a desire because his work wasn't finished. We're in the middle of a heart to serve. A heart to serve. The one thing Paul did not have was he did not have a desire to stop motion. He did not want to stop where he was. "I've done all I've needed to do. I'm finished. I'm not going to do any more." That's where Paul was. Paul said, "God's not finished. I want to continue." Paul knew that remaining on mission was needful, and Paul knew that it meant fruit to his labor that would bring honor and glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, it says, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire for goodness and work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, "Lord, come what may, I want you to be glorified." When Brother Doug was preaching this morning, he said he didn't have any retirement plans. He was going to continue to preach until it was done, correct? What's different for you? What's different for you? What's your retirement plans when it comes to your Christian service? If it was that, "Okay, I'm done, I'm out, I've hit the age of, let's just say 70, since retirement age has gone up, whatever it is now. I'm done. I don't have to do anything else." Paul knew it was necessary not only to live, but to remain on mission his entire Christian life. To remain on mission his entire Christian life. I've seen it over and over and over of how people will just sit back and go, "I'm finished. I'm done. I've done all I'm going to do with youth. I've done all I'm going to do with college. I've done all I'm going to do with nursery. I've done all I'm going to do with everything else." Paul said, "Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Why do I say all this? Because this is what we need. With a heart to serve, we need unselfish people. We need those who will stay on mission. We need mentors. We need those who have been through the fire. We need those who have served their time and have fought the good fight and are still fighting. Not people to sit back and say, I'm finished. Because God's not finished with you. Remember when I said, I don't want to teach my kids to bite. I want to teach them the good things. Guess what we need some folks to do? We need to teach some younger folks how not to bite. We need some folks to teach them how to do the good things, to do the right things. My dad was one of the greatest examples I ever had and ever will have. He didn't teach me to bite. He lived a life as an example. Dad forced me to read the Bible. As a kid, that was not something I wanted to do. I'll just be honest with you. He'd set me down in DeWitt and say, read this whole psalm. And then he'd look at me and go, tell me what it meant. I couldn't tell him what it meant because I really didn't read it. Because my heart wasn't there. Maybe some of our hearts aren't there and we need to come alongside and teach people the importance of Scripture. We need to teach people the importance of everyday life. We need sons and daughters who are willing. We need soldiers who are faithful. And we need servants who are unselfish. Satan is out to defeat the church, and he will strip a Christian servant heart just like that. We need to defeat this thought and fight the good fight of faith. I told Brother Doug this. I didn't know how this was going to go tonight, but I couldn't get this off my heart. Because mentors are something that I desire. I think that we need. We need folks to set back and go, young person, I need to teach you a little bit. We need people to set back and go, this person's 50. Okay, but they just accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're new. They're a new babe in Christ. They need that help. Age does not matter when it comes to the service of Christ. All of us have a responsibility. If you've been through the fire, walk along somebody that is going through it now because you survived and they're trying to figure out how to get out of it. I pray that each one of you are mentors tonight. I pray that each one of your hearts are it's just bursting. I need to find that person that I can help through life. Because that's what Paul was. Paul was that kind of person. I may be in chains, but I'm going to write a letter and tell you how much I love you, how much I am excited and encouraged by your growth and your walk in faith. We're not in chains. We're not locked up. We can be mentors and we can help each other to get through this Christian life. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you need that step to be taken, you don't know exactly how to do that, come talk to me tonight during this invitation as Brother Dale comes. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus and about what He's done for my life and how He can be in your life. If you're here tonight and you've decided that, man, I'm done. God doesn't have any use for me anymore. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Because Jesus has a whole lot for you to do right now in this church, in ministry for Him. And I pray that you're willing and available to do that. Y'all stand, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for allowing us coming to tonight just to be a part of your service. Father, we just pray for each and every one of us, that our hearts would be full of joy, that we would be able to explain, to impress, to whatever it takes to let people know how much you love us and what you've done in our life. Father, those that are here that are struggling, that are looking for someone to just talk to them, to help them, and Father, let them be available and open to those who are willing to help them and to be there with them. Father, not to say how wrong they are, but Father, just to say, I love you and let me help you through this. Father, help each and every one of our hearts be willing. Father, I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.